Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a Football Friday and World Series Game 1 Friday here on the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory, a great sales staff that is there for you every step of the way, and a service department that is there with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance. It's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And with that service department comes many awesome technicians ready to serve you. But SMC is now looking for more. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. So whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, every Friday show brought to you by our friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's time to stock up for a big, big football weekend. Final night of the regular season in high school football. Of course, it's game one of the World Series tonight as that kicks off. Phils and Astros. Penn State, Ohio State tomorrow, the Stripe Out. Lots are opening at 6 a.m., so you'll want to be plenty stocked up, of course, do it responsibly, of course. And then Sunday, it's the Battle of PA at the Link. Steelers-Eagles at 1. So it's a big sports weekend across the area. And you'll want to be ready to go. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. And they roast those peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's been a fun week on this show with lots of different guests, as there's been a lot to talk about between Penn State, NFL with the Steelers and Eagles, Phillies, of course. So we're wrapping it up with a bang today. Chris Wheeler will join us at 3:35, the former Phillies broadcaster, to get ready for Game 1 tonight, which, of course, you can hear on Eagle 107 at 7:25, 8:03 first pitch. Aaron Nola on the mound for the Phils. It's a big weekend starting up tonight, Mr. Steve Jones.
Yeah, sounds like it. All right. yeah. I know I'll be locked in and listening. Watching. It's going to be great. Looking forward to it. On paper, who's the better team? Obviously, it's Houston. And the cool part is nobody plays on paper, which I've tried to point out to you 1,000 times.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Now, I told you when it comes to paper, the most important part is to earn it. You've heard me say it. It's all about the paper.
That is 110% correct.
It's all about the paper. I gave a gave a speech earlier in the week, and James was asking me last night about the speech. And I said, "What was the best part of it?" I said, "The paper." Hey, you got a good laugh out of it. Yeah, you know me. That's what. So you want to know how I, like, how many pieces of paper do you think I had up there to do the speech for 45 minutes?
My over-under is one.
You know how you get those, like, notepads?
Yes.
I wrote down six topics on a notepad. That was it?
There you go. I would expect nothing less.
Oh, someday there's going to be a point. Where I'm going to have to write out every word. We're not there yet. So. The Bucks lost last night. Did you watch any of the game?
Very little. But, yeah, the Bucks are spiraling fast, I can tell you that. Especially based on today's news.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to. We're not going to get it. This isn't TMZ. He's not the only player in the league that's ever been divorced, so I'm not going to sit there and start overanalyzing.
Absolutely.
How he's playing. When you watch them play, you know, all the Brady teams over the years, for the most part, I don't care whether it was Bill O'Brien calling the plays or Josh McDaniels last year, Byron Leftwich, or 2 years for Byron Leftwich, whatever. Right? You always felt like they were, any Brady team, they were sequencing plays. Right? Like, you know, everything made sense in sequence. Even if it didn't work, it made sense in sequence. Every time I've watched Tampa Bay play this year, I feel like they're just calling plays and there's no rhyme or reason as to what they're calling or why they're calling it. In other words, they're just calling plays. They're not sequencing plays. And of course, as you know, one of my big complaints about the NFL is that there's a lot of play callers and not a lot of guys that have feel for it. And I don't feel that way about Byron Leftwich. I kind of feel like he has a feel for it. So it doesn't really... I mean, it's just interesting to see because it just feels like one of those rare times where you'll watch them play. And they just... You just feel like they're calling and running plays. They're not sequencing plays. Oh, well. And, again, we go back to an NFC team trying to play against Lamar Jackson. He has got... I mean, he's only lost one game. Against an NFC team in his career. That was the Giants game a couple of weeks ago. He's like 13-1. You know, why? Because I don't think they're used to playing against that style of guy. Now, obviously, the defense has to play well. I mean, defense obviously has to play well. But I found that to be interesting. Found that to be very interesting. Oh, Dave Tremblay, the Spikes manager this past summer, former Orioles manager, just sent me a really nice text. He says, he starts out by saying that suit guy's not still around, is he? I mean, why is everybody sending me a message starting with that? I don't get it.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit-a!
Yeah. So. Oh, boy. Oh, very nice. You're showing me the Notre Dame jersey they sent him, which was really cool. I'll reply to him later about that. He speaks very highly of you, by the way.
I appreciate
Suit,
that.
No, Scoot, Suit scares the daylights out of him. All right.
I knew I liked him if he was a Notre Dame fan.
Oh, he's a huge Notre Dame fan. No. Dave is a huge Notre Dame fan. I mean, we talked more Notre Dame football this summer than we did baseball. So, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Chris Wheeler at 3:35 today. King's on the show today. We got a lot going on. You know? A lot going on. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
So, prelude to the picks, or?
No, prelude to Wheels.
Oh, okay. Because of the World Series?
Yeah. I'm so glad Fox brought it back permanently instead of trying to use the NFL on Fox Music for every sporting event they had. I'm glad we're back to doing it separately. Because it was just a violation to play the NFL on Fox Music during baseball, for an example. That's just me.
Do you know how much I pay attention to the music leading in?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I'm sort of, like, tuned in to watch the game. I'm not sitting there going, oh, wow, listen to it. It's the Masters. Like, where's the golf?
This is my surprise face.
You act like I'm evil. I don't watch the pregame show. I just want to watch the game.
So you mean to tell me you're not going to be in the parking lot at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning?
No, but I may have to leave my place at 8 to try and fight the traffic. So no, I will not be at 6.
Yeah.
I'll be asleep at 6 o'clock. I'll probably have to actually set an alarm.
Yeah, because
I know.
I just fought that last week. It was pretty bad. So I don't blame you. Just set an alarm.
What, last week? No, last week, I... No. Last week, I'll be honest with you. I cruised in. I'm talking. Took me 10, 12 minutes from my house total.
Yeah, that was not the case for me. In wasn't too bad. Out
was
bad.
What time did you go?
I was also a little bit. I got in the Beaver Stadium area at 5:15.
Oh, see, Kathy's sister and brother-in-law were here with some friends, so I drove them in, and they wanted to tailgate, so I actually left the house at like 20 after 2. Suddenly we're there at 2:32. Like, okay.
Right.
Like, great.
Yeah.
You know, with a night game, it's more spread out.
Right.
Here's the problem. This will be different because it's... So people that want to be there at 6 a.m. when the parking lot's open and so forth, I don't blame you. For the simple reason, you're just trying to get in.
Yeah.
Now with a noon game. And that's the issue with this. I do understand that Fox has found success in winning the noon time frame. That I do understand. So that that should, you know, that's the logic behind it. But I think Fox ought to have more confidence in its product and in its presentation. Now, I understand why they are not going to have a night game, because Fox has the World Series tonight. So I mean, that I got. Okay. So that part I understand. They already have something scheduled, and it's the World Series. But this could have been a 3:30 game leading into the World Series. And I feel like they are so stuck on the noon part of it. And next year they will be stuck on the noon part of it, because CBS will have 3:30 and NBC will have 7:30. But they've been so stuck on the noon part of it that, gee whiz, I mean, this is a great matchup. You put that up in primetime, if there's no World Series. You put that up in primetime, you're going to win the night with it. That's why I've always been... I understood what they were trying to do. We need to win a day part. I understand that. They found a niche at noon. I understand that. But now that you've found the niche at noon and you've been doing well with it, it's okay now to branch out and show confidence in the product you have and in your presentation and put it up head-to-head against somebody else. Now, that's just me. I'm obviously not a network executive.
Well, I 100% agree, because then if you put this game in a 3:30 slot, then maybe I have, well, actually, I guess they always want the white out at night, but so I guess that cancels that. But yeah, but you're right. The bottom line is it'd be better at 3:30.
With the World Series, they were not going to have this game be
right,
on Fox
exactly.
and Beale at
yeah.
night. So
yeah,
no, they already had a commitment. And the commitment was with Major League Baseball, and the date was already locked in. Okay. And I get it. I mean, I understand. All these things make sense. Moving forward, Fox is going to be paying the most money. So they're going to get, especially in the off season, I think they get the first three picks or something like that, and then CBS gets pick number four. I mean, for the season. I don't mean week by week. But it is what it is. I know the fans aren't crazy about having it at noon. I understand that completely. It's not like the old days when games were at 1:30. It's one element about NBC's deal with Notre Dame I always respected. Notre Dame wanted 2:30 kickoffs, maybe with an exception of a night game like they have next weekend with Clemson. But they wanted 2:30 kickoffs, and they made that a part of the contract, and I always respected that. Always. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Want to hear the tweet of the day? Brett McMurphy from Action Network. Big Ten's new media rights deal, about $70 million annually per school, more than double the Pac-12. But Pac-12's George Kliavkov, the commissioner, tells the LA Times, eventually we'll catch those guys. We're going to be looking at expansion. McMurphy, sources, Pac-12 now adding the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees, and Real Madrid. Today's show.
My hero.
Well done, Brett.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Joining us now, my good friend, Chris Wheeler. Hours before the World Series, let's at least get the most important part out of the way, which is very important. Tell Renee I said happy birthday.
That's really nice of you. I think she probably has you on the computer downstairs. She likes to critique our show.
What bothers me is you always come out great, and she's like the other guy.
Hey, that tweet was great, and I was thinking that's when somebody says in baseball, we just need two more guys to get there, and you say, yeah, Ruth and Garrick.
That would put us over the top. We're good.
That'll do it. Maybe we could add Mays and Aaron, and then we'll get better.
Yeah. By the way, your request to me, working on it, and I think I've made significant progress. Okay.
Thank you, my friend. You know, I wouldn't ask you unless it were something special. So I appreciate that.
I understand.
That.
No. I brought it to some people yesterday, and everybody went, "Really?"
Well,
I felt that was significant progress.
Yeah, that is significant progress. So you'll let me know, and I told my friend with the Phillies that I'll let them know eventually.
Yeah,
so
got it.
We'll leave it at
that.
Thanks.
We're going to make it work. Okay. So
thanks,
what a great moment. See, we take care of the personal stuff in the air, too.
Why not?
What a great moment for the franchise. I mean, you know, as you've lived this your whole life. And to see this run that they've made, how much fun has it been while also being nerve-wracking at the same time?
You know, it's so different. You don't know what I'm going to talk about, because I always felt like I had something to do with it when I was there. So during the games, we were on radio, except for, 1980 in the World Series. So, you're always doing something, and you were busy, and your mind was, I am just a mess right now trying to watch these games and not walk around and occasionally want to toss something, or how can they not make that play? All the things you would never do when you're a professional and on the air. So it's been great, Steve, because it came out of no heck. I didn't think we'd beat the Cardinals, to be honest with you, and to see them go that far and to do what they've done right now and really create another generation of baseball fans in this area. Because this team is really so, they really know how to relate to the fans here. They get it. They totally understand how to give something back, and they're good. And they have stars. Houston's a better team, obviously on paper, but that's why you play them. That's why we're going to play Ohio State tomorrow. I got to throw that.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
That's why you do those things.
Well, exactly, and you probably feel now you can relate to a player that is injured, where they sit back and they feel helpless, and they're like, and they'll tell you every single time, and probably a multitude of players have told you this over the years, this is great because I feel like I can do something about it. And you're in that spot now where you can't, where even though you can't.
Exactly. It's awful. It really is. It's great and it's awful. Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm so proud of the organization and happy for. I had my run. I had a great run. It was so much fun to be around it. But there's so many people down there. You go from 2008 to 2022 with the COVID, where people were laid off or left the organization. There's so many new people there right now. Never been through anything like this, and I'm just so happy for them, because it's hard to put in words when you're a part of this. And when I was watching those champagne celebrations, I thought the years that I was the one down there doing those interviews, trying to talk when the champagne was in your ears and they're pouring water down my pants and everything, those kind of things, to try and concentrate, or they dump an ice bucket on you, or those kind of things. So, you can put yourself in that situation, and I'm just so happy for the people in the organization and doing it. Our radio guy, Scott Fransky, has gotten a lot of notoriety for his wonderful calls. And Tom McCarthy's gotten to do more now because of the fact that he's the number one TV guy. So it's all good, real good.
All right. When I look at this team, and I think this is an interesting element, what doesn't Houston have? They don't have a left-handed reliever on the World Series roster. Last I checked, there were a couple of potent left-handed bats there in the Phillies lineup. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think they added Will Smith today, who they did not have on the roster for the last series when they played the Yankees. And the reason they did it is for what you just talked about, you know, for Harper and Schwarber,
yep,
and Stott and those kind of left-handed hitters. Now, Will Smith, at one time, he's kind of like Brad Hand, who the Phillies have. You know, at one time, they were really, really good, and right now they're serviceable at best. And, you know, you don't necessarily want to use them, but you may have to. Like, they may have to use Smith, or we may have to use Brad Hand for Alvarez at some time. You're on Alvarez, you don't know. But, yeah, they don't have a big time. Now, I've also watched enough of their games, Steve, and you've done a lot of baseball. Sometimes you can have a right-hander on your team that has a real good fadeaway changeup, that kind of pitch.
Yep.
Like that guy Suarez on Sunday that Harper wound up hitting an amazing home run off. Well, those guys can sometimes be as effective as a left-hander, as a funky left-hander. So, you know, you're right. That may be the only thing you look at with that team that they don't have that's big time. And yet they have these right-handers that throw those really good fadeaway changeups that can really neutralize a good left-handed hitter.
As someone who's lived the playoffs so often during the course of your great career, what did it mean to have a 1-2 punch at the start of the rotation when you got to a series?
Well, it was really, really important in those shorter series, especially. Sometimes you get exposed a little bit in a seven-game. I've always said the better team usually wins in the seven-game series. It doesn't always happen, but I've always felt it's because of pitching depth, which Houston has and the Phillies don't have right now as far as starting pitching depth. But those first two guys that we have, the Phillies have, are really good. I mean, Nolan, my namesake, Zach Wheeler, they're outstanding competitors. They don't have a real, you know, I love that new term, they don't have a heartbeat or a pulse, you know. You look at their faces, and they don't change expression. You know, if they're good or bad, they're just hanging in there and trying to make the next pitch if they made a bad pitch. So when those two guys are on the mound, you think you have a really good chance. You know, tonight, Nolan Verlander's a heck of a matchup in Game 1 of the World Series. And, you know, the World Series doesn't get the ratings that it used to get, like a lot of things don't. But I hope people, you know, around the country will be tuned in a little bit to watch that matchup, because it's really good. They have great defense. They have a very good offense. And the Phillies have a thunder-packed offense that when it's on and a pitcher isn't on his A game, you know, they can do some damage. So we'll see. It should be fun.
You know, it's interesting that when they get to the World Series, you know, you and I have talked about World Series pressure. The fact that they've had to survive playoff series to get here, does that negate some of that World Series, quote, inexperience?
Sure can. They're hot, too. You know, they were the last seed. If they didn't add that third wild card this year, the Phillies don't even get to do that, any of this.
Right.
And there's a huge differential in wins between the Phillies and the Astros. It may be the largest in World Series history. I don't know, but it's got to be close to it. So, you know, on paper, but I always looked at when you were playing a hot team, like the Cardinals, we at least won 100-and-some games in 2011, the last time we were in postseason. Cardinals came in and knocked us off in five games, the last one being that 1-0 masterpiece when Ryan Howard blew his Achilles on the last play of the game. That was the last time the team was back. So they were hot. And the year before, we were the best team, I thought. And then the Giants came in, and they were red hot and knocked us out. So you just don't know. So, yeah, I agree with you. It could happen. I don't think they're nervous about this. And from what I hear from people I know in the clubhouse and I talk to them, they really enjoy each other. They're having a lot of fun. They figure they're playing with house money right now. So let's go out and be in the World Series and shock the world. Why not?
Hey, I mean, it seems like it's a team that has the attitude of, quote, why not us? I mean, the bottom line is the toughest part was to qualify for the tournament. Well, now once you get in, you can do it. Like, the Packers were a sixth seed that won the Super Bowl. The Steelers were a number six seed. They won the Super Bowl. I mean, so, you know, last seeds can do it.
Yeah. Charlie Manuel, the great philosopher, old Chuck, he used to say, you know, son, you have to be good, but you got to be lucky. Those foul balls have to be fair balls. And he was so right about that stuff. You have to have – look. When you look at some of the things that happened with our club in the postseason, some of the balls that against the Atlanta Braves, you know, broken bats and bloopers, and against the Cardinals in that ninth inning down 2-0, and all of a sudden you get 6 runs and you don't hit a ball hard. Those little things have to go your way in postseason especially. And when they do, all of a sudden, you get to be an even better team and think, you know, you can beat anybody. So they have a lot of things going for them right now. And the one thing that I really, truly believe, and, you know, maybe be turn out to be wrong about this, but I don't think they're scared. I don't think that it bothers them to be on this big stage after what they've been through the last few weeks. And they can't wait to get it back here because, as you know, Steve, and I know you watch games and know what it's like down here, this crowd has been ridiculous during this postseason. You know, they haven't had a chance to hoot and holler like this for a long time. And, oh, my, they are intimidating.
I mean, they are letting loose. I do have to ask you a Charlie Manuel question. and that's because it came up today. A good friend of mine, Rick Berry, was here today, and we were talking. And we were talking about people who do jobs, and I brought your name up because I knew I was going to be talking to you today. And I said, you know, there's certain people that can do a job, they understand the job, but the really good ones have a feel for the job, which you always did, okay? It's just, it's a separator to me. Charlie Manuel.
What?
Charlie Manuel, I always felt like no matter what people thought, he had a feel for the job, and I'm not sure every manager or coach is like that today.
Well, thanks for what you said, because there is a feel involved, and you know exactly what it is when you're doing what we do for a living, as you do. And you're right spot on about Charlie. And I'm telling you, I know him a little bit, but I know from what I've been told about him and from people I really respect down there, Rob Thompson's just like him, without the accent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has a feel for when to have to say something to somebody, when to leave him alone, when to tell a guy he's playing tomorrow, when to prop a guy up when they're struggling. Hey, look, baseball's the ultimate failure sport. You're going to fail. No matter how good you are, you're going to fail big time. Make it out 7 out of 10 times, you hit 300. So he really is a lot like Charlie from what I hear. He has total control of that clubhouse. He lets the coaches do what they have to do. A good manager will always use his coaching staff, and Rob evidently does that because he was a coach for so long and gets it. You know, I heard Larry Bowa told us the other day, I was out playing golf with him the other day, that's an experience. Spent 5.5 hours in an outing with him. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But, no, I'm only, you know. He said, Rob Thompson talked in spring training, like, you know, I'm about ready to hang it up. I've had a good career. I've been a coach for so long. Maybe this is going to be it for me. And what happens? Bam. Joe Girardi gets fired. He becomes a manager. He figures it all out on how to run the clubhouse for this particular team. He took a lot from working with Joe Torre all those years, and now he's in the World Series as a manager and got a 2-year contract a few weeks ago. And I've known him from training over the years, and one of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet. And and just the way he comes off, like not having a pulse when you look at him in the dugout, that's the way he is with these players, and they're very relaxed when they play for him.
All right, now I have to be fair. Now you have your shot. Go ahead.
It's always part of the deal. Right, let me make a statement, and then you tell me. All right, okay. You got an aerial circus like nothing you've ever seen. You got a quarterback that may win the Heisman Trophy. You got 4 wideouts that'll go to the NFL. You got 2 running backs. Maybe both of them are going to go to the NFL. And you got a defense with not a great big star, but seems to be better than they've been before. So how do we beat Ohio State?
How does one respond to that? First of all, everything you say about them, spot on. There are a couple of elements that go into play with this. Number one, so let's start with one of the intangibles that we'll just see how everybody reacts. They've played one road game all year, and that was at Michigan State, which is a very good crowd, but it's not this crowd, as you and I know. So they don't have a lot of, quote, road experience with silent counts and so forth. And it's not the quarterback. The quarterback's fine. It's, you know, how do the tackles react? How does the H-back react? You know, do they, you know, do you cause a false start or two, or are they so poised? They don't. They also haven't played in Beaver Stadium before a crowd in 4 years. Last time Ohio State played here with a crowd was 2018.
Right.
So these guys haven't even experienced that intangible part of it. Next up, you've got to get, you know, in watching the Iowa tape, because Iowa's a really good defensive team, and so's Notre Dame. And they both did a really good job with that Ohio State offense. And they were able to do it. You know, Iowa does not trick you, as you know, Chris. They don't trick you. They are a team that plays it pretty straight. They were able to get some pressure on him using a couple of blitzes. So he threw the ball in a hurry, didn't want to throw a pick. He did throw one to Campbell. Campbell picked it. Campbell's a great linebacker.
Yeah.
But it showed me that, number one, Ohio State did in that game struggle running the ball, which was a surprise. But Iowa, again, is terrific defensively. They're off. I mean, Chris, you needed to pay me to watch the Iowa offense on that tape. and then they did a good job of getting pressure on him. In the first half of that game, Iowa turns the ball over 5 times. And they held 4 of them to field goals. The 5th one, Eichenberg ran back for a touchdown. So yeah. They did a good job. So, you know, if you play it right, you're able to do some work against them. What they do defensively, and this, you know, and Penn State does this too. I mean, I always love when I bring up what one team does. Well, how come Penn State doesn't do it? They do it, okay? They do, when they, especially when they get to their dime package, they disguise their coverages really well. Mm. And so they will try to bait you into something that you'll regret the second you let go of it. So it's not just that Sean has to see it, but the receiver has to read it as well. Just like the same thing, Stroud will have to do the same thing against Penn State's defense because they'll disguise coverages. But that's been a Jim Knowles trademark over the years. And now you don't have to listen to the pregame show tomorrow on the keys to the game because that's actually one of mine. So.
Well, I was thinking that...
And you have to get off to a good start in this
game. Penn State secondary is probably one of their strong points.
No doubt.
Is that, would you agree?
No doubt. No doubt about it. And that was one of the big problems against Michigan. They only got into the sub package with the secondary 6 times the entire game. Right? And that was really important. And the other part, too, is you have to get off to some semblance of a fast start in a game like this. And fast start is not just you scoring, but keeping them off the board. They've scored in their opening drive in 6 of the 7 games this season. So you want to make sure that you get them in a spot where after the first couple of drives of the game, you're either even or maybe you're in front and you're making them play from behind because, except for Notre Dame, they haven't had to do it.
So is that a game tomorrow if you win the flip that you decide you want the ball instead of giving it up?
You know what? I think if they win the flip, personal opinion, they win the flip, I think they'll defer.
Okay. The thing I got to ask you about, because, you know, I've been up there, Renee and I have been up there for a lot of the whiteouts over the years, and Ohio State was involved. And, you know, we were lucky enough to see that unbelievable win that year. But a noon game, can the crowd be intimidating? I know it can't be like it is at night for a variety of reasons, but can they get into it the same way? Will the students come out? I mean, night games are just... Hey, look, how many... What, Minnesota had 5 false starts the other night? That crowd does that.
No doubt. And the variety of reasons, would that be the variety of beverages served at the tailgates?
Yeah, and now inside.
Yeah, yes, for a variety of reasons. Yeah, that's a little bit different, but still 110,000 yelling and screaming is still 110,000 yelling and screaming. Yeah. And
good.
it's not a big crowd that's there to see, with all due respect, Northwestern or Central Michigan. It's a big crowd that's there to see Ohio State. So even though the level won't be a whiteout, it'll still be pretty high because of who the opponent is.
Well, that's good to hear because, you know, I know over the years, and by halftime, you know, they usually fill it up. But, you know, there's games that start from the student section looks like it's half full. And, you know, you can't have that.
Oh, no, you can't. And, by the way, in 2016, we're doing the pregame show outside the Jordan Center, and there's Chris and Renee came over, wanted to make sure they said hi, the whole thing. So remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, we've been lucky enough to be up there for some of those great whiteouts with Ohio State and other teams, and we were also there for that 6-4 game with that great Iowa team. So sometimes you have to get in the bed, Steve.
Kirk Ferentz deliberately with a 6-2 lead took a safety because he didn't think his team would give up a field goal.
Wow. I got a lot of respect for Kirk Ferentz, but I kind of lost it after that nonsense last year about taking it.
Last year,
that was a joke.
The nonsense last year, I had him highest of high respect, knocked down a couple of rungs on the ladder for me because of how that played out. So,
first thing I thought that when they were doing that nonsense, so come on, you know, what are you going to do? You're gonna lay down and stop the clock or try to stop their momentum? I mean, they got a plow horse offense. There's the last team in the world you do that to.
I said to their play by play guy Gary Dolphin, I said, "You guys huddle."
Yeah,
right. I said, "Okay, okay, my argument's over with."
That was unfortunately. Sometimes some of the people you really respect will do something, and as you say, you got to take them down a notch.
Yeah, and that'll be the whiteout game next year. I'm pretty sure if I'm guessing. So
yeah, we got to get up there again. It's been a little tougher with the Nittany Lion not in existence the last few years. So we'll see what happens. We want to get up there again.
All right, hey, Renee, I hope that I graded out better this time. All right.
you're always terrific. She's found a way now that we can get you on the computer in the state college station, and it's synced up. We sat the other night watching us play the Braves or the Padres in that game and listening to you and Jack the Minnesota game, and it was distracting as heck to try and keep in touch with both of them, but at least we knew what was going on at the time it was happening.
Well, that means more than you know. Hey, my good friend, thanks so much. I will be in touch because, like I said, I feel like significant progress was made just in two conversations. Okay?
Thanks, buddy. It's always great to talk to you, and I look forward to hearing you guys tomorrow, as always, and go get those Buckeyes.
Yeah, you're the best, man. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
happy
Steve.
Birthday.
Enjoy
happy
it.
Birthday, Renee.
See you. Bye.
Chris Wheeler. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.